1, verses 3 through 13. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption, adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto dispensation of the fullness of time, to the sum of all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things upon earth in him, I say, in whom also we have made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who have before hope in Christ, in whom you also, having heard the words of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Morning. We would like to reiterate the welcomes to the visitors that we have. We're very blessed this morning to have some in our audience, as we typically are. We just sang a song a few moments ago called Count Your Many Blessings. We sang the words that it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. You may not have to be very actively engaged in our media these days to be personally aware of the state of the society that we find ourselves in today. The news has been full of fires throughout the U.S., many people in jeopardy of losing their homes and their lives. We've just commemorated the tragedy from 9/11. You surf through the channels on TV or flip through the newspaper, we see 12% unemployment in the state of California continuing to rise. We see plummeting stock prices. We see devastated news about devastated 401k plans and retirement and pension plans, life savings lost, trillions of dollars in government deficit, programs that we've relied on as a society, Social Security, health care, things like that beginning to slip away from us. We see record number housing foreclosures in many parts of the United States. We see skyrocketing health care costs. We see household income on the average continuing to fall every year. Some might think it unusual that we would pick a time like that to think about our blessings or to sing about or to concentrate on our blessings. But what I would suggest to you that it is at times like this, in times like these, that it is most important for us to do so. We might ask ourselves, how often do we really do this anyway? How often do we stop and take time to think back about the things that we're blessed with and to count our blessings, as we've just sang about? And if we were to do that, what types of things would we find on our list that we are thankful for, that we consider blessings? If we were to look at the general population and ask these questions as people begin to self-reflect a bit during times like this, we would find things probably on that list like this. Well, we have a home. We at least have a comfortable home with a roof over our head in most instances. I have a job. You hear people a lot of times refer to, I'm very blessed. I have a job of some type. I've got a nice savings account. I've built it up. It's been protected. I put it in silver or gold versus stocks. I've got a nice retirement. I've got ample clothing. I have ample food. I have good family. I have strong friends. I have dependable transportation. I've had a nice vacation recently. Have a few luxuries in life. I've got a boat. I've got a motorcycle. I've got jet skis. I've got a condo. Whatever that is, I have some luxuries in life. I'm very blessed. Because people realize that in this society, recently, these things are very rare. But also, if you took a very similar survey and asked people what were the causes of stress in their life, what were the things that they were concerned about that caused them anxiety, I would think that you would find a very similar list. And it's funny how it almost lines up with the blessings, things that they considered blessings. Mortgage payment, how am I going to make it? My house is being foreclosed on. That job that I have, that I'm blessed to have, I'm griping because I got so many hours and I don't get along with the boss, and the things that they expect me to do with the little bit that they give me. Financial problems, worrying about that savings account and where it is and whether it's going up or down. The pension plan, it's devastated. How many hours are lost each week and each month as we think about these things? That ample food and clothing, how much time do we spend stressing over the fact that we don't have the latest fashions, or our kids don't have the latest fashions, or we can't afford to eat at the nicest restaurant, we have to stop at the Sonic Drive-In versus maybe a Famous Dave's or a steakhouse. How many times do we have stress in our lives over the strained relationships we have with our family members, maybe our neighbors? How much time do we spend stressing over the car payments and the cost of the car? Did we have the nicer? Did we have the Lexus lease? What did we have? How much time do we spend thinking about all these things, these stresses in our lives? Although these things in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we look at passages such as James chapter 1, verse 17, and we won't turn to all of these because we do have some readings later on in a few slides, and I would encourage you to get out your Bibles and follow along with us as we study together this morning. James chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. All of these things tell us that we should be thankful to God for all things. We should always give thanks without ceasing, and that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So these things in and of themselves are not wrong. In fact, we need many of them to survive on, and in most instances, most of us are blessed far beyond what we need in each of these categories. But what I'd like for us to consider for a few minutes is the Bible's view of some of these blessings. Let's turn to Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 12 through 16. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses... I think I said that wrong. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 16 and 17. Then he spoke a parable saying to them, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Let's turn to James chapter 5, verses 1 and 3. And many of these passages apply to multiple categories of these. I tried to align them up to create the continuance of your thought, but many of these overlap, so I've just listed them out to the side there. James chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. As we consider the things that we concern ourselves with, it says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 talks to us about our concern and our love of money and the types of evil that comes from that. Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verse 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moss and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We can continue to look through these passages. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. As we look at the family relationships that we feel many times we are blessed with, and we're lucky if we are, but with those strained relationships, verse 34, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is telling His disciples, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The last one in this passage, let's flip back to James chapter 5 as we complete this thought. James chapter 5, we'll look a couple of verses further down from where we read a second ago. James chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. When we talk about those luxuries, those things we enjoy, the Bible says, "You have lived on the earth in pleasure and in luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you." So again, these things in and of themselves are not wrong. They're blessings that God has provided to us indeed. But we began to put too much emphasis on these being our list of things that we are blessed with, and these alone. There are cautions based on the passage we've just read about God's view and the Bible's perspective of those physical things that we are indeed blessed with. When we look a little deeper at these passages and other passages, we mentioned James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from God, that we're to give thanks in all things." Let's turn to Psalms, the 40th chapter, in verse 5. Psalms chapter 40. Begin, and we'll read verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And we find passages that we read in our scripture reading this morning, Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, specifically in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." When we look at these, we find a deeper understanding, and I believe that these passages are referring more than just these physical blessings that we find ourselves enjoying on this earth. Let's explore for the next few minutes, if you will, that some of these blessings that we find. The first thing that is worthy of note, as we read, is that these blessings are one place. And that one place is in Christ. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 5. We find in John chapter 1, verse 12, that we are indeed children of God, that Jesus Christ gave us that right to become children of God through His name. And it tells us that if we believe on Him, that He gives us this right. So these blessings are in Christ. They're through the adoption of us as sons to God through Jesus. So this begs the question in many instances in our minds, how do we get into this relationship? How do we get into Christ to get these blessings? Let's turn, if we will, to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. We'll read verses 27. Let's back up to 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we turn over to the fourth chapter, or just look a little bit further down, maybe if it's on your Bible, maybe on the same page, the fourth chapter, down to verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave to sin, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we find that these blessings that are in Christ, we get into Christ by being baptized into Christ, as we read in the third chapter. And that this puts us in a relationship as sons with God through our adoption through Christ. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we find that if we are in Christ, as we are baptized into Christ, then we are a new creation, and the old things are gone away, and that all things are new. So as we think about this, what are these blessings that we have? I'd like for us to consider some of these this morning. We have the blessing of a new life. In Galatians, the second chapter, Paul talks about this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Paul talks about his new relationship, his new life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul talks about his new life. Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 6, says that the old life is crucified. We now have a new one. Colossians 3 and 9 encourages us to put off the old life of sin. Galatians, the fifth chapter, talks about this new life that we have. It tells us in verse 22 and following that this new life consists of things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that this new life consists of. We also have a blessing we find in Scripture of a new family. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 19, refers to the Christians as members of the household of God. Ephesians, the third chapter, refers to the whole family. We've talked in the Galatians passages that we read earlier, the third chapter and fourth chapter, about sons, our adoption. We have adoption as sons to God through Christ. That puts us in a new relationship, me being a son, you being a son, that we are now brothers and sisters. We have a new older brother in Christ. We share a new family, a new relationship. Paul talks about this relationship and its value to us and how important it is and the blessing that it is that God has provided it for us in Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12 through 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. And he continues on, let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other. What a wonderful blessing it is that we have each other, that we can encourage each other. We have this family relationship that we can encourage each other. And I can tell you from my own experience, yours may be different, but I trust that it's not, that in many, many, many cases, these relationships are such a blessing that they are stronger, truer, deeper than many of our blood relationships with our sons, daughters, brothers and sisters in many instances. It is truly a blessing to have these. We have also the blessing of a new hope. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse chapter 1 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that he has begotten us to a living hope through Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We also find in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in verse 19, that this hope is an anchor. It's a living hope, and it's an anchor to us that is steadfast and sure. What a tremendous blessing it is for anything that we have to be steadfast and sure in an economic times like this, when so many things change on such short notice. We have a blessing of joy. Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 13, talks about this. Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 8, talks about this joy and describes it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. So back up to verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Joy is inexpressible. The joy that we can have in God through Christ is inexpressible. We have the blessing of peace we just read about in Romans, the 15th chapter. May God fill you with all peace. We find in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 7, another description similar to the 1 Peter chapter regarding joy. We find in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Our joy is inexpressible. The peace that we can have passes all understanding. What a blessing that is for us to have. We have the blessing of love. Passage that we're all familiar with, John 3:16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." If we turn to 1 John 4, we find more information about this love, a deeper description. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." What a tremendous blessing it is that we have, that God created the plan that we read about in our scripture reading this morning, that He would create such a plan before the beginning of time, that He would give, not that we would give something, that He would give His Son, His own Son, that we might be reconciled back to Him. In this plan, we have the blessing of forgiveness. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, which was our text for this morning, in verse 7, it says, "In Him," referring to Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." So it was His plan, God's plan through Jesus, that we would have this redemption. What is that redemption? The forgiveness of sins according to the richness of His grace. We find in Colossians that this redemption is through His blood. It continues to refer that this forgiveness, this blessing that we have, is where? Is in Christ. It's through His blood. How did we come in contact with that blood? Remember where we started, Galatians chapter 3. If we've been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. We become heirs to these things. We also have the blessing of boldness and assurance and confidence. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We may have confidence. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, that we may have a full assurance of our hope. Think of the things that we referred to as our initial thought of blessings. How many of those things can you have full assurance in? We also see passages in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, that we may have confidence, not ashamed when He comes, if we are walking as He has walked before us. What a blessing it is. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, we find a reference to Abraham having this. Romans chapter 4, verse 19 says that, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being," listen to this part, "and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." When's the last time you could think that, feel that, and have that confidence, that assurance in any of the things that we mentioned in our earlier chart about the blessings that we have here in this life? What a tremendous blessing Abraham had. What a tremendous blessing Paul had to know that I am confident that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him, as we read. We have also a blessing of wisdom. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, and many of these we will go through quickly in the essence of time, that we can have a full assurance of understanding. We can have understanding. We can have this wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that if we ask for this wisdom, God will provide it. God is clear that if we seek these things, then He will make them known to us. We can have a full assurance that we can understand the things God has prepared for us. We mentioned earlier the blessings that we have of encouraging one another. Colossians 3:16 talks about encouraging, admonishing one another. We see passages in the first century recorded for us in Acts chapter 2 about how the first century Christians shared all things, encouraged one another. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Let us consider that together. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." What a tremendous blessing those people had in that situation, being far away from home and many of them without ample food to last them the time that they were staying there. What a blessing it is. If you've ever been in a spot, we mentioned it this morning in our adult Bible class, and I encourage you, if you're not taking advantage of those, to do so. You're missing a wonderful opportunity. Chris mentioned how wonderful it is and what a blessing it is that we can have when we travel to various places for vacations or for business. And I did that for some 13 years on a weekly basis. And I can tell you it's a tremendous blessing to find Christians in other places. I have friends now in Seattle and Spokane and Virginia and Florida and Arkansas, all the different places. And I've rarely been to a congregation to worship with brethren and not find some connection. Someone knows someone that I know someone is someone. And when I hear those things that the people are continuing in the faith, it's so easy to understand how Paul, when he writes his letters, talks about the encouragement that he gets just to hear that other Christians are continuing. What a blessing that is to know that we're not in this alone. You remember in the Old Testament when the prophet Elijah goes out and he finds himself under the bush and he says, "I'm the only one left. The only one left." What a tremendous burden that might have been in his mind to carry. But God said, "Stand up. I've got something for you to do. You're not the only one. Go back." We also have the blessing of a new home. We sing many songs about sojourning and wayfaring and pilgrims. "This world is not my home." This is a tremendous blessing that we can consider in Christ. We have the blessing of a new home, a new heaven, and a salvation. If we look at our passage that we opened with this morning, Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll continue to go back to that. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 11. "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. We find, again, as we look at the full context of that passage, that that was God's plan from the beginning. It wasn't ad hoc. It wasn't made up when some other plan didn't work. It's a very popular belief. But you go back and you look at this passage, you have to intentionally, I think, come at it to try to misunderstand this passage. Before the creation of the world, God had this plan, that this inheritance would be obtained through Christ. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we mentioned this earlier, but in the context of another point. But if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we find more information about this inheritance. That this inheritance is incorruptible. What do you know in this world that you consider a blessing is incorruptible? It doesn't take long, in my experience, for my car, my home, and my money, and my savings account, and my clothing to find that those things are indeed not incorruptible. We also find in John the 14th chapter information about this new home as Jesus is talking to His disciples. Let's turn to that one. John the 14th chapter. Begin reading in verse... let's go ahead and back up in verse to verse 1. Verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. What a wonderful blessing. The Savior Himself. How can you believe in Jesus in any way, shape, fashion, or form and not open up to His very words and believe what He has said? He has gone to prepare a place. He is going to prepare that place. And when He goes, we'll know that way and He'll come again to receive us. What a wonderful assurance. What a wonderful blessing it is that we have to know that. We look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, talks about this home. Verses 9 and 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. And that might not be the passage I'm looking for. Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. Oh, I was reading 13 there, maybe. 9 through 10. Okay. Verse 9 specifically. But it is written, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." That's what I was looking for. That makes more sense. No eye has seen nor ear heard. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We have not yet imagined the wonderful blessings of the things that God has prepared for us. If we were to look in Revelation 21 and 22, we would find it talking about this new home that we have. We would find multiple passages throughout there saying that there is no night there, no death, no sorrow, no crying, but we will be in the presence of our Lord and God forever, praising Him, worshiping Him, and glorifying Him together. These are the true blessings that we should be counting every day. This is not an exhaustive list of these blessings by any means, but are the ones that I thought of in preparing our thoughts for this morning. Again, let's reiterate, where do we find these blessings? Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3, said that these blessings are in Christ, nowhere else. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I believe in one of our Bible classes that was a memory verse for this morning. Should be very familiar with that. These blessings are in Christ. Where else can we find them? Nowhere else. There is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved. Ephesians, the first chapter, we found that redemption, these blessings in Christ, we gain contact with these blessings And this redemption is through His blood. This forgiveness is through the blood of Christ. We looked at in Galatians the 3rd chapter, verse 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And I'm pausing there for emphasis. Let's read that again. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how you put on Christ and how you get into Christ. And if you are Christ, and you've done that, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. These blessings are yours. They're there for you. God has prepared for them, has prepared them for us since the beginning of time, as we read in Ephesians, the 1st chapter. If you haven't done this morning, we encourage you with all of our hearts that you take advantage of these blessings. Because if you haven't put yourself into Christ, these blessings aren't for you. These incorruptible things are not there for you. They are only in Christ and no other name. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, tells us that if we've done this, but it tells us this gospel, this good news, this redemption is ours if we hold fast the word and be faithful unto death, and we will receive this crown of life. If you've been baptized and you've put yourself into Christ, but you haven't held firm, you haven't held this gospel close, then these blessings aren't yours, because this gospel only saves us if we hold fast till the end. We ask that this very morning that you consider these things, consider these blessings, considering what blessings that you're counting. Are they incorruptible? And are they yours? We ask that you consider your relationship with God. And if you've wandered away from His truth, that you restore that relationship with Him. These blessings are yours and they're waiting for you. He's prepared them for you. We ask that you make your relationship right with God this morning as we stand together and sing.
Linger, wandering from
thank you for being here this morning. If you're visiting with us, please stick around for a few minutes and let